Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, 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 and a very warm welcome in to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our chance as blind or partially sighted people to get together each week and explore the world of technology. Tech Talk, of course, it's your show, and we always love to hear from you. You can get in touch in the usual way via email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll be hearing about the new Ray-Ban Metas, those smart glasses that have very quickly become the talk of the town in the blind community. And Hubert Pavalkovich will be putting the Euro 24 app through its paces. We'll also be trying to answer some of your listener email as well. So stick around for another episode of Tech Talk. Joining me this week, our co-hosts, we have somebody new to welcome in, Jackie Brown from RNIB's Technology for Life team. Good to have you with us, Jackie. We'll come to you in a second. And of course, Callum Stoneman and Hubert Pavalkovich. So let's come to each of you and find out what is grabbing your attention in the world of technology. Jackie, I'm going to come to you first. What's on your radar?
Hi. Well, I am very interested at the moment in some wearable technology, apart from the Ray-Ban glasses from Meta, which are really interesting. I'm also playing with the Arx Vision headset at the moment. I'm borrowing one from RNIB to evaluate, and I've been messing about with that over the last little while as well. So it's about wearables for me.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that a little bit later on, and we'll compare and contrast some of those wearable options. Callum Stoneman, what's new with you?
Well, I want to give a bit of an update on Sonos, because we've sort of been following this. Basically, a very quick summary. Sonos, obviously well known for really good, really high-end speakers and, you know, sound bars and that sort of equipment. Really good track record for accessibility as well. But at the start of May, they launched a new app, redesigned the app, gave it a whole new look. It was an accessibility fail, basically. It was very inaccessible. They have had some updates to the app, and it's actually in much better shape now. I was trying it out this morning, and it's actually looking pretty good. Still not amazing. There's still definitely still some work to be done and things that could be made easier to navigate, but actually getting to all the different parts of the app and viewing your system and making, you know, changing the volumes, changing settings and all that, and even choosing where to play from and choosing songs, choosing radio stations, is all a lot more accessible now. So I think at your own risk, obviously, but I would say we're at a point now where you're, if you are one of these people who've turned off automatic updates, I think you're pretty safe to update now. Obviously, it's going to take a bit of getting to grips with, because not even in terms of accessibility, but just generally, it is a whole new app. That's the whole point of this. But we're in better shape now. Some work has been done reasonably quickly as well.
There's two things here, isn't there? Because there's obviously change, and everybody has to deal with that. And I know that many sighted people didn't love the new app from Sonos, right? Because there were things like sleep timers, for example, that I don't think were working initially. So that's sorted. So there's a bunch of things there that just affect everybody, right? And of course, we're going to be subject to that as well. But then when it comes to accessibility, that's when it really becomes sort of mission critical. You know, you literally cannot use something, or it takes you a heck of a lot longer to use something, or it's more frustrating to use something because somebody's dropped the accessibility ball and it hasn't been checked before release. That's when it's really problematic. And I actually stopped all my apps from updating automatically when this Sonos story broke, you know. So on my app store now, it says you've got 118 app updates pending, you know. Have you had that, Jackie, where you've just sort of turned off all app updates because you don't trust them?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, because it used to be great to just press the update all button, but I've stopped it as well. And I went into Sonos just to make sure in there as well there's a place where you can stop the app updating as well. I'm still hanging on to see what the reports are from everybody in the blindness community at the moment, just to see where we're at and where we're going with this before I dare do it.
There is still a learning curve, but yeah, I think it is pretty good. You are going to have to expect something different, but I'm just reluctant to do it because I didn't realize actually until this story came out that on Android you can turn off automatic updates for a specific app, whereas on iOS it's all or nothing.
Well, nothing,
You either
yeah.
you either turn them all off, or you're basically forced to update just overnight. It will just do the updates for you. And
there you go. Little advantage of Android there, actually. If you're saying you can turn off app updates on a per app basis.
yes, yeah, you can.
Right, okay. Hubert, let's bring you in. What's grabbing your attention in the world of technology?
So for me, it's actually a surprise one. So I've been a Hable One user for over a year now, and I love it. It's fantastic. I've really been keen on this Braille keyboard. It's a small Bluetooth keyboard that you can literally put in your bag. But my question too was in general, experiment with Braille screen input. If I've been using the Hable One, will I be more comfortable now trying Braille screen input and actually be able to get the hang of it better? And that was my experiment this week. And I've been trying Braille screen input on my new iPhone 15 Pro, and I absolutely love it.
There you go. Well, I like a bit of Braille screen. And Callum, you were demoing that last week.
Yeah, the little trick that you can do with the opening apps with Braille screen input. So on your home screen, just turn your rotor to Braille screen input, start typing the name of an app. In grade one, you have to do grade one Braille. Once you hear the app that you want, two finger flick right, and boom, you're in. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and the other thing you can do is to move it to the top of the rotor as well, so you can go into your voiceover settings and then move Braille screen input to the start of the rotor, so it makes it a little bit easier to get to. And of course, Apple have announced changes to Braille screen input in iOS 18 so that it can enable automatically in edit areas and include some navigation commands. Jackie, I always think of you as Lady Braille. You wrote the book on Braille displays. Do you use Braille screen input?
I don't actually. I have tried it, and I do have a Braille display that I can pair with my phone when I want to use it to do write something longer. But I've tried Braille screen input, but it just feels I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bit of a traditionist. Perhaps I'm a bit of a Braille oldie. But I just find it really weird writing without actual keys on the screen. It's just, I'm sure it's something that people get used to doing, and I'm sure I would get used to it, but I still find I'm just as quick to get around my iPhone just in the way that I normally do with my fingers, just typing on the QWERTY keyboard on the screen, and just asking Siri to open apps and things like that. So
Hubert, what was the moment when the sort of switch kind of flipped for you and you thought, actually, do you know what, this Braille screen input, I can do it?
I was curious about this for a few weeks, and then I actually just went, oh, but what's the best way to find out? Let's give this a try. And I sat in the office a few days ago, and I was like, I've got messages to reply to. I'm going to try Braille screen input because the way I hold the phone, which is in screen away mode with the screen facing away from me, that's a similar way you hold the Hable One. So I thought that would surely mean if I've gotten to grips with using the Hable One, I could give this a go. And sure, I love the physical keys. It gives me a bit more reassurance, but I thought let's give it a go. And okay, I'm maybe not as fast as I am on the Hable One, but I think the more I use it, the more hopefully speedier I'll get with
I
it.
can't get to grips with tabletop mode at all. I always use it in screen away mode. In fact, I've actually got mine locked in screen away mode, so it's just constantly in that mode all the time. But it took me years, literally years, to get to grips with it. I hated it at first. The thing that made me change was when, so there was an app called FlickType quite a while ago. I don't know if either of you remember this. It was originally called Flexi. It then went through a few changes and disappeared for a bit, and then later got rebranded to FlickType and sort of came back. And that was a brilliant app for typing on the touch screen, but then it disappeared again. And I just it was far too slow going back to the normal QWERTY keyboard, and I thought, right, I need to do something about this. So I just really focused on Braille screen input and eventually got to grips with it. But yeah, screen away mode is the way to go, if you ask me.
Alrighty, Jackie, Callum, Hubert, thanks very much. Stick around. It's another Tech Talk.
With the Euros in full swing, we thought here on Tech Talk, we can't not join in the fun. So today, I want to show you the official UEFA Euros 2024 app. Now, naturally, the tournament has already started, so some of the things you may not be able to take full advantage of because you might have missed a few games, but if you still want to get involved with the action, and there's plenty of action still to go with the tournament going on until mid-July, I want to show you the app and what you can expect from it. And of course, we will look at the all-important audio-described commentaries. If you have not had a chance to look at it, I will show you what it's like. As of this recording, it will be the first game we will be listening to, which is Germany versus Scotland, the hosts taking on one of the home nations. What you have to keep in mind is that the accessibility is variable throughout the entire app, in the sense that some sections are more accessible than others, and you sort of have to keep this in mind that certain parts of the app you might not be able to take advantage of due to its accessibility, but I'll talk you through it as we go.
Euro 2024.
Here we go. We've got the app open. We are in the home screen, and I'll show you a few things you can find in here.
Euro 2024 home, heading, profile and settings, button.
Fairly self-explanatory.
Going to Germany. Iconography / system / regular / navigation close button.
So certain labels are a bit hit and miss. That's one of the things to keep in mind.
Get exclusive travel discounts, match day updates, fan zone info and more. Yes, I'm going button.
So you can naturally close that dialogue if it's annoying you, if you're going to be using the home screen much.
Event companion _ Tarja Ted Masajakut _ background. Image. Possible text. Going to Germany. Get exclusive travel discounts.
So there we go, as an image.
Germany versus Scotland button.
So as of this recording, this is the first game, and if you tap on that game, you can then get loads of information and previews. You can look at lineups, and they are, from my observation, listed in a very decent way. There's no kind of confusing lineups, layouts, as in some apps I've experienced. The layouts are a bit confusing. So that's the home screen roughly. I'm not going to go through all of it because there's quite a lot to go through. I'll take you quickly through what tabs we've got.
Selected, home, tab, 1 of 5.
So that's the home tab.
Matches, tab, 2 of 5.
Then matches tab, fairly self-explanatory. You can access all the games there.
Groups, tab, 3 of 5.
Groups tab. Now, we are at the group stage, so that tab will probably change later on in the tournament. At the moment, you can see all the groups and how they are doing and the performance in each group table.
Fantasy, tab, 4 of 5.
Then there's your fantasy tab. That's where you can play the official fantasy game. So you pick your squad of 15 players, 11 starting players and 4 substitutes. And these are real players in the game, and they will score points according to how they play. So it's quite popular in the Premier League. That is something that happens every season. And it's really good fun if you're into that sort of thing. Some people take it quite seriously to quite worrying lengths, but some people do just quite enjoy a little fun, you know, either set up a little wager or just play for fun. It is quite enjoyable if that's what you're into. And actually, it makes you pay closer attention to games because you've got players that you've got invested interest in. So even games that may not look appetizing to watch, you will be probably watching because you want to see how your players will do. So yes, that's fantasy, as I said, made much more accessible than it used to be in this app during the last championships. I'd say it's still variable, but it is much more improved. At least you can do everything pretty much from what I've noticed that you need to do.
More tab, 5 of 5.
Then there's the more tab. That's where there's a lot of things there which will show you.
Profile and settings button.
Again, profile and settings. That button is fairly consistent.
Following button.
Following, so teams you are looking at.
Teams button.
Then all the teams, so you can follow specific teams. So for me, for example, I always like to follow the host nations, obviously England, Poland, since that's where I'm originally from, Scotland, you know, up to you, whichever teams you choose.
Stats button.
You can look at all the stats if that's what you're into.
Moments button.
Highlights, moments of the competition, which is quite exciting.
Player ranking button.
Player rankings, again, fairly self-explanatory.
Gaming, heading.
So gaming, this is where you have a few games available, and that's where the accessibility varies, as I'll let you know.
Match predictor button.
So you've got the match predictor, so where you predict the scores, team to score first, player to score first. I found it tricky to pick my own score, so I almost found it easier to pick one of the popular score predictions. As picking my own, I found it a bit tricky. It works to an extent, you can probably figure it out, but that's where I have to say the accessibility is very hit and miss.
Quiz Arena button.
So that's the Quiz Arena. That's quite accessible, actually, which is quite good fun. However, what you need to keep in mind is that the questions are timed. You get about 15 seconds to answer. So you can access all the information, but you only have 15 seconds to make the choice. So it can be tricky depending on what speech rate your voiceover is, and depending, obviously, you need to still be able to think of the answer. So it can be tricky, but I have given it a go and I have managed to get 600-something points somehow. So something's clearly worked, but that part is quite accessible and quite enjoyable.
Tournament bracket button.
Tournament bracket, this is where you can actually predict how the tournament will unfold from the group stage to, well, the final. And what I found really frustrating here is I really struggled with this section because it is very, very fun to do. And I love doing it. But unfortunately, I've not found a way to accessibly do it. I've tried it with screen recognition. I found it still confusing. You've got group spots in each group, and I presume you can pick which team finishes where. With screen recognition, it changes them to switches, but it doesn't really help you to choose the team, and I found the focus does jump around a bit. So that part, unless someone figures it out listening, please do let us know. I found that pretty much inaccessible. The labeling was there, but the ability to actually do it, I couldn't get my head around it. So if you are listening to this and you figured it out, please let us know or send us a demo.
At the event heading.
So at the event, some of the parts of this app will apply to you if you are not going to Germany. Some will probably be a bit more important if you're actually there.
Event companion button.
So this is more if you're actually at the games physically.
Tickets button.
Tickets.
Audio descriptive commentary button.
And one of the big announcements this time around is the audio descriptive commentaries. It will allow you to get, hopefully, all the information that sighted fans can get. So, you know, what the players are doing on the pitch, the position of the ball in accordance to where the players are on the pitch and all that. It will be quite interesting. We will show you that later as the game starts.
Explore heading.
Then explore. Under this heading, you've got a few things here.
Store button.
So store, if you want to purchase some things, merchandise, or I imagine kits as well, which would be quite interesting.
About the competition button.
You can learn more about the European Championships, and there's plenty to learn. As I found out from the quizzes, there's so many different facts and figures. It's quite interesting.
Official sponsors.
That is it for the walkthrough of the Euros 2024 app. Right, it has gone 8 o'clock on the 14th of June. As of this recording, we're going to try out the audio-described commentary. So what I'm going to now do is go back into the Euro 2024 app, and we're going to find the audio-descriptive commentary and play you a little sample, and I'll let you know what I think of it. So as mentioned before, you will have to go to the More tab, which is in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen.
More tab, 5 of 5.
Now, this might be different on an Android device. This is on the iPhone that we are demonstrating this.
Audio descriptive commentary button. Audio descriptive commentary heading. Live commentary designed for blind and vision impaired people. Germany versus Scotland live now -20 to 21:30 button.
So double tap on this.
Select commentary language heading.
So you can choose the language.
Deutsch button.
So Deutsch, that's obviously the German commentary.
English button.
And English.
English button.
So my understanding is you will have the languages of both teams competing. Now, whether you'll have English commentary available for, let's say, a game such as Poland-Netherlands, that I'm not sure about. But in this case, you have English available for the Scotland side, and German side has the Deutsch. So we'll tap on English.
English.
Back button. On this near side, long ball towards the edge of the Scotland penalty, headed down just in the D, Scotland have it on the edge of their own area, half cleared away, now it's cleared by McGregor up to the centre circle, and Germany have possession and calm things down.
That is a little bit of the commentary for you that we are able to play. If you have listened to football commentary on the radio, either local radio or BBC Five Live or Talk Sport, I think you will find quite a lot of similarities between this commentary and radio commentary. It is very detailed. Now, the quality is interesting. It did sound a bit like the commentator was very close to the microphone. For someone who pays a lot of attention to audio, that might be bothering you. For me, I don't mind it. It's not great, but it's not, you know, it's what you get as part of the experience. Now, for me, I think this is revolutionary because it provides an equal experience to blind and partially sighted people. And you don't have to have a special service to access this. This is available in the main app of the tournament for everyone, which to me is what it should be, quite frankly, at this point. If you can and you wish to, do take advantage.
Thank you, Hubert Pavalkovic, for your demonstration of the Euro 2024 app. Anything to add, Hubert, or is that basically it?
I think my 2 points is regarding the audio descriptive commentary, and I've heard this from other users too, that, for example, the English commentary isn't available on every game. I think it's not something I thought it was going to be dependent on the region you're in. So if you're in England, you'll always have access to the English commentary amongst other languages. But actually, I've heard from some people that not on all games, the English commentary is not always available, which is a bit strange. And also, the quality of the audio quality of the commentary is very variable. Sometimes it's really good. Sometimes it will not be great. Don't get me wrong, that's no reason to say you shouldn't give it a go, because you absolutely should, because I think it adds to the experience. But it's something to keep in mind together with the variable levels of accessibility in different sections of the app. But it's certainly better than it was, as I said, than it was in 2021.
Well, there we are. And of course, by the time you hear this, who knows who will be left in the competition. But I hope you enjoy the remainder of Euro 2024. Always important, if an app doesn't live up to your expectations, be sure to leave a review on the App Store or on the Play Store, because I know that the developers do read those things. They do like a good review. So if you've got concerns or questions and you're not getting any joy when you're sending in your feedback, do let them know. And of course, Google and Apple both have accessibility teams as well. So any issues, you can report them there. Hubert, thank you very much.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
Do you like your technology wearable? The talk of the town at the moment are the Meta Ray-Bans, smart glasses that claim to describe the world around you and also include cameras for creating content for your social media channels. And somebody who's been having a bit of a play is our very own Jackie Brown from RNIB's Technology for Life team. And Jackie joins us now. Welcome in, Jackie. Really excited to learn more about the Meta Ray-Bans. But just before we dive into that, just give everybody a little bit of a sense of your experience using wearable technology. Have you tried anything like this before?
Hi, everybody. Well, no, actually, the only other wearable I have tried is an Apple Watch. And I know there are hundreds of people, you know, in our community wearing Apple Watches. I haven't got one myself, but I have played with one a little bit. And at the moment, I'm still holding off buying one. So that's the only other wearable that I've seen up until now.
So, Jackie, have you played with any of the other wearable cameras? So I'm thinking of things like Orcam, Envision, Arx Vision. There's a few out there now.
Yes, there is actually. I've seen the Envision glasses, and once the hardware is changed on those, because obviously the Google part of the hardware is now no more. So once Envision gets that sorted with their own hardware or another piece of hardware to link with their software for the glasses, I think that will be a real game changer. I've seen Orcam as well and had a play with Orcam. but they aren't wearables that I would particularly want to buy at the moment, partly to do with cost, and also because I think there's so much out there at the moment that if you jump one way, you could have invested your money and there might be something even better on the horizon. So it's a really good time for wearables, but it is maybe a good idea to hold off.
Mm, yeah, and Celeste, I think, is another option I've been reading about. Have you heard of that one?
Yes, yeah, that's a subscription model for glasses. So that's another one to watch. And in a way, a subscription model means that if you pay something every month, you're keeping up to date with whatever's coming out with the hardware and software. So that's one to watch as well. As I say, there's a lot going on out there now, Dave.
Mm. And having just said the best thing might be to hang on a little bit and see how this plays out, you yourself,
yeah,
you haven't taken your own advice. You've gone ahead and you've plumped for the Meta Ray-Bans. What led you to that decision?
I got a friend who contacted me and said, have you heard about the Meta Ray-Ban glasses? At that point, I hadn't. So, well, I'd heard of the name, but I didn't know anything about the glasses. So I went away, did some research, and then I got a demonstration from the same friend who bought a pair, and I was really impressed with them. But also, I think the price factor for me is, you know, okay, 300 or just over is a considered purchase for anyone. But at the same time, it's not as expensive as your almost 3K for Envision glasses or Orcam. So I suppose it was a compromise. And I thought, I've got to somehow get my way into this this sphere of wearable technology. And that would seem a bit of a compromise. So having tried the Meta Ray-Ban glasses, I then decided to order a pair. And I'm glad I did.
Okay, so tell listeners what they are and how they work.
Basically, they are a pair of sunglasses. For those who don't know, Ray-Ban deal with sunglasses. That's their thing, all shapes and styles. So what they've done is they've added some electronics to the sunglasses. And by electronics, I mean they've incorporated speakers. So you have a speaker at each end of the glasses. You have a camera, and you can press the button on top and take pictures. If you're into social media, you can use them for WhatsApp, Facebook, and Instagram. And they also have really, you know, good camera, a 13 megapixel camera, I believe it is. So the idea is that you wear the glasses, you pair the an app called MetaView with your phone. Now, this works on iPhone and Android, so you don't have to be one or the other. You can pair it. And once you've paired the glasses using Bluetooth with your phone and the Meta app, you can then start asking Meta questions. The only caveat to that at the moment is that the AI portion of the Meta setup is not available in the UK. I have it on sort of reliability that it is coming. The 26th of June, I've been told, is a date we should look out for a Meta update in this country. And then once the AI portion comes to the UK on the Meta glasses, we can then go out and ask it questions. The wake word is "Hey Meta," and you then can ask it questions about the weather, what you see in front of you. It actually reads text as well. But I've actually seen the AI in as it happens, because one way around it that some of us have found is if you go into the App Store and you download a VPN of your choice, a virtual private network app. Once you've done that, you go into the VPN app, you can set the country, and you're better setting it to the USA because that's one of the places that has the AI portion of Meta. So once you've done that, you then reset the glasses, reset your phone, You know, in other words, reboot your phone or do a hard reset. You're not going to lose anything by doing that. And then you run the VPN and then you go into the MetaView app and lo and behold, you get hold of Meta AI. And this is where a lot of people have tried this and it does work. But for those who are not quite so keen or not quite so savvy, then you're probably better waiting until the Meta update comes out at the end of June.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds quite complicated, Jackie. How did you find the setup process?
It's not for the faint-hearted. If you want a fiddle and you really want to be able to use it, then, you know, those of you who are a bit more aware of how VPNs work and, you know, using them, then it's absolutely fine. It is reasonably straightforward. I found it a little bit of a faff, to be honest, because I had to find a VPN, and there are loads of them in the App Store or the Play Store. So a VPN is basically a tunnel where you can pretend that you're somewhere else in the world, and that's the whole point of a VPN. And if you use a VPN and you set it to America, this was the complication I first had, was trying to get the accessibility of VoiceOver to set the VPN to America. But I managed it in the end. And once I did that and I was able to reset the glasses and start from scratch, re-download the MetaView app from the Play Store, pretending I was in America, everything worked and it was good. But it is a bit of a fiddle, and I don't recommend it unless you are that way inclined and you want to play, or you can't wait for Meta AI. But I am reliably informed that it is coming.
Okay, so they contain two cameras. There's microphone, there's a kind of a touchpad, and all that tech is built into the frame of the glasses, and then you can choose whatever lenses you want in there. Presumably, if you had a, you know, prescription lens, then you would be able to swap those out. So how do they feel to wear? What are they like on, you know, when you've actually got them on? You're not somebody that uses glasses generally, as I understand it.
That's right, yeah, because I don't have any sight at all, even any useful light perception or anything. I don't have that. So I actually found them. They are literally just a normal pair of glasses, and you take them out of the little glasses case, which charges, by the way. So if you pop them in the case and your case is charged up, there's a little USB-C port at the bottom of the case, and you charge them up. And then the battery life in the Meta glasses is really quite good. They say 4 hours, but I know people that have had about 8 hours out of them, which is really pretty good. Now, one of the things that I found about the glasses that I really liked was, because you paired them with your phone in Bluetooth, it means that you get VoiceOver on your phone. It means you can hear your phone speaking to you. So what you do is, when you wear the glasses, as soon as you unfold the arms, you hear a little tune, and it knows then that they're active, and you pop them on, and they are very comfortable to wear. And then you can ask Siri on your, you know, on your phone, which might be in your pocket or, you know, in a bag somewhere. You can just ask Siri to open Voice Vista, for example, which is a fantastic app. And you can go around getting the Voice Vista in your Meta glasses in each speaker. If there's anything on your right hand side that Voice Vista announces, you'll get it from the right speaker. If there's anything on the left, it'll announce it in the left speaker. And if it's straight ahead, you'll get it in the middle, just above your nose. But it's really good. The app, the Voice Vista app on its own is fantastic. But if you wear it with the Meta glasses, you really do get the benefit of all the separation, all the sounds. It's a bit like wearing bone conduction headphones if you're going out with Voice Vista, because if you're using bone conduction headphones, you've got your ears free. It's the same on the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. You're wearing the glasses instead of, say, a Bluetooth headset or bone conduction headphones, and that's the way it works. And it is absolutely brilliant. I was blown away by that alone, to be honest. And I think that if you're not even interested in the AI setup, certainly using the Meta glasses just for, you know, a navigation app like Blind Square, Lazarillo, Voice Vista on iPhone. If you're interested in GPS altogether, then it's a great way of having your hands free to hold your dog or your cane and walk around outside, and you look normal because you've got just a pair of ordinary sunglasses on.
Right, and you haven't got the risk of, you know, if you sneeze, you lose your earpods or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're obviously not just going to get them for that, right? Because there are bone conduction headphones available at a, you know, at a lower price. The reason you would perhaps go for the Meta Frames is the camera. So tell me about some of the applications for that. What have you used the camera for and how well has that worked?
Okay, so you can use the camera for taking pictures, and you can do little videos as well, and you can send those to WhatsApp, because Meta is all part of the sort of the family of WhatsApp, Facebook and Instagram. I'm not a social media person. The only thing I would use them for in that sense probably would be for WhatsApp, because I do use it to converse with my family and send pictures. And it's nice because you can walk around and take pictures. I had a friend who gave me an example of moving into their new home, and he wanted his family to see what his house was like. So he went around taking pictures using the Ray-Bans and then sent the pictures up to WhatsApp, which is, you know, it's a really useful thing to do. And of course, some people buy them for that reason. And I think that's why really Meta have kind of, they're Ray-Ban glasses, but they've got the added bonus for sighted people, I suppose, of using your social media. But it does work for us because, of course, we've got VoiceOver or TalkBack on our phones as well. So that is another incentive. Also, you can listen to music on them. Now, I'm not saying that you would want to do this really all the time if you were on a bus. I know I wouldn't really want to use my glasses for listening to music, because there might be a bit of bleed coming out and other people might hear it. And also, I just prefer my headphones, a bit of a decent sound. But they are actually, they do have quite good speakers in them, the Ray-Ban. So in fairness, if you wanted to listen to a piece of music, you can link your Amazon, your Apple Music or your Spotify accounts, and you can get them. You can ask the glasses to play songs for you or your playlist.
I've been reading that in order that other people in your environment know that you're recording a video or taking pictures, there's a light, I understand, on the front of the glasses, so that makes other people aware.
Yes, it does. I obviously can't see the light, but there is, I'm told that there is a light on the glasses at the front. And, you know, if you are recording, as you say, live, it does acknowledge to anybody else who's around you that there is, you know, they are being recorded or something is being recorded. So I guess that's all part of the privacy and the terms and conditions that you accept when you sign up with the glasses. I would say as well, Dave, that the voices, there are a couple of voices for the Meta AI portion, and the voices are actually really quite good. I've got one for the UK. You can set your language, even though I'm pretending to be in America, you can still set your voice language on the glasses to UK. And I've picked a voice that I think it calls itself Precise. And it really is quite a good voice, actually. It's not any of the voices that I've heard before on any of the other wearables or on phones or anything like that. To me, the voice sounds like the veteran reporter Kate Adey. So it's a good voice. It's not bad at all. And there is another one that it's called, I think, Enthusiastic. But I prefer the kind of the Precise voice. So you have that as well, and you've got the voice coming through the speakers on the glasses. I don't really feel it clashes with your voiceover on your phone, because once you know, once you are using one, the other one stops, really. So it's quite good.
And are you using them every day, Jackie? Give us a sense of some of the practical things that you're doing.
I had to go out the other day to a school to support a pupil, and I was being driven by car. And I thought, right, I'm going to put the Meta glasses on and I'm going to use Voice Vista. And I thought that Voice Vista was great. It was telling me everything. It was telling me bus stops. It was telling me churches, post office, any shops it passed at all. And it was really very busy. And I just found that the whole world around me came alive. Normally, I would be sitting in the car talking to the driver and just, you know, having a general chat and not really paying too much attention to what was going on around me. I live in quite a rural area, so, you know, I tend to feel that there isn't much around me to start off with until I get into, you know, bigger towns, because it will be grass, fields and sheep and things like that, which is great. But actually, I discovered there was so much more when I was using Voice Vista, and particularly when we got into built up areas with all the shops and the roads we were on. I just found it really interesting.
Right. And obviously that's using them as headphones, right? So you potentially could use bone conduction headphones for that, or AirPods or other kinds of headphones. I suppose there's a kind of a social thing of, if you're wearing sunglasses, people might still talk to you, but if you're wearing headphones, then maybe they think you're listening to something and perhaps less inclined to talk with you. But how are you using the camera, Jackie? This is what I really want to get to, because obviously if you're buying the Meta Ray-Bans, it's for that combination of having the camera and the audio in a kind of a wearable form factor. How are you using the camera?
I use the camera for the AI portion. So I have tried text. I've held, you know, pieces of text up in front of the glasses at a reasonable distance. And I have said the wake word, "Hey Meta, what do you see?" Sometimes if you say, "What do you see?" she will tell you what's in front of you in the room, which is interesting. But regarding the text, I try to be a bit more specific with her, and I'll say something like, "What is the text on this page?" And then she will read that page to me. She will read the text. You can get her to read signs. You know, it really, you have to be quite specific, I think, about what you ask her, the way that you ask her to read something for you. So, but it definitely does work. I've tried food packaging. She will read the instructions. I've tried, you know, outside, what do you see in the garden? She's given me a description of the garden. You know, there's all sorts of things that you can use it for. And I have heard on the grapevine that Be My Eyes and Meta are in talks. Whether anything is going to come of that, though, I don't know. But a few people have said they've heard the same thing. So it is common knowledge that these groups are speaking to each other. And it would be amazing if we got Be My Eyes on the Meta Ray-Bans, because I think Be My AI, to me, is absolutely outstanding. And if we could use the Be My AI artificial intelligence, that would be something else. But until that happens, or if it happens, I would say that Meta are going to keep it fairly locked to their own AI. And that does work. But as I say, it's coming to the UK. It's rolling out across the world in various countries, but it hasn't quite reached the UK yet.
And with those examples, Jackie, reading text or describing your garden, do you find that significantly easier with the Ray-Bans than with just using your phone?
Yes, I do, in the sense that you're hands-free. So you haven't got to get your phone out in a place that's perhaps public. I'm not overly keen on that. I think you do have to be careful of taking your phone out, whipping it out. And okay, yes, that's what your phone's meant for, to do things like make calls and all the rest of it. But I still think that the Ray-Bans are more discreet, in the sense that, you know, lots of people wear glasses. And if you're getting feedback from the glasses without taking your phone out, then I think that has to be a real bonus.
Mm. Just two final quick ones, Jackie. How did you decide which style to go for? When I go and look at the Ray-Ban Meta, there's so many different versions.
Yeah, there are a lot of styles. There's the Wayfarer, which is what I went for, just a normal pair of black lens. They're the Wayfarer, so they've got like a slightly squarish glass, you know, the shape. And you can get tinted ones. You can get all kinds of colours. You can get ones that transcend, so the ones that will actually change as the light changes. You know, some people find that really useful in a pair of glasses, where if they go out into the sunshine, then they will start to tint. And when they're in a darker place, then the glass changes back. Those are slightly more expensive. I think they're £379. I just went for the basic ones that I could get, really, because it isn't going to make much difference to me in terms. I think mine are slightly tinted, actually. I think they call them Wayfarer Black Graphite. So they are slightly, but I mean, for me, it was all about what's in the glasses, the electronics, rather than, you know, I didn't want to go around in a bright pair of, you know, bright pink pair, or, you know, vibrant yellow or something like that. I just stuck to, perhaps maybe some people would say, boring black, but at least it looks, you know, it's reasonable when you go out with whatever you're wearing.
Mm. So I'm listening to this at home. I've heard Jackie on the radio. It sounds very exciting. I think I might take the plunge. Any tips, any things that I just need to be aware of during the setup and making some of those choices?
Yeah, I mean, the setup on its own is pretty straightforward. You take the glasses out of the packaging. They come with the nice little case that they charge up in. You can charge the case as well, to give, and you do get quite a lot of charges out of them. So the setup in itself is quite easy to do. If you listen to the MetaView instructions when you go into the app, it's very good. It gives you a tutorial if you want to use that as well. So it is all fully accessible with voiceover or talkback, as I believe. And once you've set them up and you're starting to use them, if you then decide, look, I don't know when we're going to get the AI, so I'm going to go for a VPN, that's when it could get slightly more tricky. But it is doable, and I know several people that have done it. And all you need to do, really, is to download a VPN like Windscribe or Privado, or, well, some people use all kinds of VPNs. I think AVG's got one. There's Nord. You know, there's lots of them. But if you download a free one, which I did, I use Windscribe. That is very accessible. You can go in and turn the VPN on and off at your will. So, you know, if you don't want the VPN running in the background, you get 10 gig of data a month. And it's, as I say, it's free. You can pay for an upgrade if you really want to use a VPN all the time. You can pay for that. But I just wanted the VPN just for the glasses. And once it rolls out in the UK proper, I would imagine I probably wouldn't use a VPN, but it is useful to have a VPN, because you can do other things like surf in different countries and get their radio stations and things like that that are maybe prohibitive outside the UK. So they do have their uses, and if you're brave enough to do it, I'd say go for it.
Jackie Brown, clearly very excited about her new Meta Ray-Bans. Thank you so much, Jackie. We really appreciate you. Can you tell us if anybody is dabbling with smart glasses or wearable technology? How can we get in contact with you or your team to get a little bit of extra help and support?
Yeah, sure. If anybody does need help from the TFL service, by all means, contact the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999, or you can send an email to tfl@rnib.org.uk, and one of us will pick up the referrals in the team, and we will try and get in touch with you to call you back and help you as much as we can and support you in setting up your glasses or any other tech that you might have, such as smart speakers, smartphones, tablets, laptops, screen readers, magnification, you name it, that's what the TFL team deals with on a daily basis. And we're open every day, Monday to Friday, between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Jackie Brown from RNIB's Technology for Life team, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Jackie Brown there talking to me about your experiences with the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses. And I have to confess, Jackie, I did go and buy some. Yes, I went onto the Ray-Ban website and placed my order. I then got an email that said it was going to take 12 days. And I thought, forget that. So I got them from Argos and they were there the very next day.
Ah.
Callum, you're interested in this area as well. Let's sort of compare and contrast a little bit the Ray-Ban Metas. Where do they sit in the great scheme of things? Obviously, they're a little bit more affordable than some of the other options out there. Jackie, you mentioned at the top of the show that you're also evaluating the Arx Vision AI camera. So just compare those two options for us, if you would.
Okay, well, for a start, the Arx Vision headset only works on an Android device, and there is a cable leading from the headset to your phone, essentially. So you always have to have a cable plugged in, the USB-C port on your Android phone. You've got to use that for the Arx headset to work, which I think is quite a big disadvantage in many ways, because the cable's not hugely long. It's long enough for you to be able to put the phone in your pocket and, you know, use the headset, but you've still got a cable dangling down there. And I think there is potential for that to break or, you know, start becoming a bit unstable.
Well, Jackie, I'm just going to pause you there because, of course, we all know the vagaries of Bluetooth, right? And, of course, Bluetooth's never unstable, right? So in some ways, maybe there's a kind of a simplicity there that you plug it in and you know it's going to work, right? So perhaps that's one sort of point of differential.
That's true. But when you plug the headset in, you are then asked for permissions. Now, I discovered that the USB permissions that you have to give the Arx headset on the Android device, there are three. There's a camera permissions, there are button permissions, and once you tick those and you allow that the first time, that they're set, but there is an audio permissions that you always have to give when you plug the cable into your Android phone. So that's just another step that somebody who's maybe just wants to get on with using the headset and finding that a bit of a struggle, you do have to actually use the screen of your phone to give the permissions for the audio section. If you don't give permissions, you're not going to hear anything through the Arx headset.
But then in kind of contrast that with the Ray-Bans, of course, you've got to, you know, almost sign your life away to Meta, right? You've got to agree to all sorts of terms and conditions that, you know, Meta can have your information. The Arx headset works with apps that we already know and love, like Seeing AI, for example. So quite different options. Callum, any thoughts from you?
I'm keeping an eye on the Metas. I feel like they're the best option with the main mainstream and also the most affordable. I think for me, it's just a little bit early at the minute for me. I want to see what happens because there is the Meta AI features on there. But from what I've heard from people who have got access to these, you can do things like, you know, I think the command is something like, look at what I'm seeing or what am I seeing or something. And it will give you a description of your environment, or if you're looking at a document or something, it will give you a summary of that document, but it's not Be My Eyes level yet, because that's not really what it was designed for. So if you hold up a menu for somewhere, if you were to take a picture of that with Be My Eyes, it would probably start reading you the menu or at least give you a summary. Whereas from what I've heard, if you say to the Meta one, whatever the command is, what is this? it will just say, oh, you're looking at a menu for Starbucks or whatever. You know, it wouldn't, you've got to do a bit more prompting for it to then read that out in the way that we'd probably want it. So I think if Be My Eyes and Aira and all these other services come to these glasses, absolute no-brainer. But it's just whether Meta would allow that.
Hubert, do you have thoughts?
I think for me, I'm with Callum on this. I think it's a little bit early. I'd like to see a bit more when it comes to the Meta Ray-Bans. I'd like to see more demonstrations. I'm open to the idea. I certainly would like to maybe give it a go and see what it's like for me. But yeah, at the moment, I still haven't seen enough as to whether I'll be able to experience as much from the Ray-Ban kind of glasses as I kind of would hope for.
What I would say is, as regards the permissions, you know, that you're right, you have to agree to all the Meta terms and conditions, but you only have to do that once. Every time you plug the Arx headset into the phone, you have to get past the permissions in order to use it. So I just wanted to clarify that for anybody listening to this. But it is a very, very exciting time for wearables and everything that's going on. It's brilliant.
Yeah, we should check on that permissions things every time, because my understanding is that's not how it's supposed to behave, right? I think you do have to agree to that, those things initially, but then on subsequent uses you shouldn't have to. So that might be worth a little bit of investigation. How have you found the AI experience, Jackie, on the Ray-Bans?
Well, I have had to download and install a VPN to get the AI portion of it working. Now I've done that, until it rolls out here in the UK. And there are lots of rumours about when that's going to be. I believe it's imminent. But I think the AI is really quite good. I still don't think it's as good as Be My AI in the Be My Eyes app. I think that's the gold standard at the moment. But I really do. I think it's pretty good. Considering these glasses, if you compare them with, say, Envision smart glasses, you know, they're a fraction of the price. Yeah, they're still a considered purchase. But the AI in it is definitely worth having. And I think hopefully it'll get better.
It's funny you mention Envision, actually, because I'm looking at these thinking, these have got to be the second-gen Envision glasses, haven't they? Because Envision glasses at the minute are based on Google Glass hardware. So Envision themselves don't make the glasses. They're using them. They're using the Google Glass hardware, which was actually discontinued in 2019, I think, or 2018. And they're really pushing this hardware to its limits. I mean, it shows how ahead of its time it was, I guess, with the stuff that they're managing to do on there. But ultimately, the hardware's discontinued, so it can't last forever. But surely Envision must be looking at these.
Yeah, I mean, I think the future is going to be a kind of a fusion of mainstream and sort of specialist assistive technology, right? You know, many of us use braille devices, which are obviously, you know, bespoke, you know, kind of hardware that's made for you know, blind users specifically. And as much as possible, I think we all love to use mainstream devices, but sometimes actually having a specialist solution can support, you know, greater efficiency and productivity. You know, I've tried both the Ray-Ban Metas, and I like them, and the Arx Vision, and I'm getting more information from Arx Vision at this point in terms of, you know, being able to ask questions about a document. I found that trying the AI on the Ray-Ban Metas, that it just very quickly I went into a bit of a dead end in asking questions, and it certainly wouldn't tell me about people, for example. You know what, you know, I'd ask what's somebody wearing. I took a photo of my wife, for example, and it wasn't having any of it, right? And it said for privacy reasons, whereas, you know, Be My Eyes and things like that, they've worked through some of that already. So yeah, bit of a mixed bag. I'm really interested to hear everybody else's thought, just our opinions, of course. There are no rights and wrongs. The important thing is, what is it that works for you? Hubert, are you going to hang fire, or are you going to rush out and buy any of these wearables?
I think I'm going to hang fire to find out more, but certainly the future is bright for this. I'm certainly not opposed to it, because if it provides a benefit, which a lot of these technologies do in different ways, then I'm more than happy to buy one. It's just a case of which one works, like you say, which one works for me personally, and which one will bring me the most benefits as to which one I was to purchase if I was to purchase either of them.
Okay. Jackie, Callum, Hubert, thanks very much. So we've had an email come flooding in from Rod, who writes, "Hi, tech talkers. Whilst I agree that Siri is rubbish," that's not my words, that's the word of Rod, "one thing she really is excellent at is loading apps. If I want an app that's not in my regular folders, I can just ask Siri to load it, and up it comes. But what does surprise me is when I subscribe to Apple Music and I am listening via the Apple TV. The music starts playing before I've even finished saying the title. Why doesn't Siri do that?" I'm guessing you mean, why doesn't that happen on the iPhone, Rod? So, thoughts, folks? Why do we think Siri works a little bit better for Apple Music on the TV rather than the phone?
That's an interesting one. I can't say I've really... I mean, we don't have an Apple TV. As much as I go on about how good the Apple TV is and how accessible it is and how I love it, we don't actually have one. So I haven't experienced this firsthand. But I mean, I think you've got a point there about Siri being rubbish, to be honest. But hopefully not for much longer.
Well, Siri's going to undergo massive changes in iOS 18. Yeah. We've heard all about this AI stuff coming to Siri, so we'll see how that plays out. I mean, Jackie, what's your mileage been with Siri?
It's okay. I often forget it's there, actually, to be honest, because I can ask it to open an app the odd time, and I suddenly remember, oh, I'll get Siri rather than go looking for it in whatever folder it's in. So it's useful for things like that. But I tend to go to the other speakers if I want information. So I tend not to really use it that much, if I'm being honest.
I mean, I do use it like to initiate calls sometimes, you know, if I'm out and about and I've got my, my wireless earphones on or something like that. And I want to make a call and I'm holding my cane, maybe carrying something, you know, and I might say, you know, "Hey Siri, call, you know, Mrs. W or whatever, you know," and I find it works all right for that. Do a little bit of dictation. But yeah, still very, you know, rough around the edges and, you know, will you get a reply or not? So we're not really sure, Rod, is the short answer. It does work extremely well. So it's a good option for many. But thank you for dropping us a line nonetheless. OK, we've also heard from Nick, who has been in touch to express his annoyance with Microsoft Outlook, which he says keeps trying to send him to a website to access his email. Have any of us investigated this and have we found any workarounds?
I would say if there must be some way to turn that off in one of the options in Outlook. There must be a way of turning that off, because I'm using Outlook. I live in Outlook both at home and at work. And I, to be honest, I'm not getting that being sent to the web to do emails or anything. So I'm guessing that there is something that you could turn off.
It's this thing that's been rumbling on, isn't it? This push towards the new Outlook, because in December, I think it is, the classic Outlook is going away and it's been moved to more of a web app. And I mean, it's not very accessible. Well, it is accessible, but you know, just not that usable. You know, it's essentially your emails in a website and it's all a bit cluttered and, you know, focus doesn't move where you think it should and keyboard shortcuts that we're used to don't necessarily work. And I mean, I can't honestly say that I'm getting... Every now and then there'll be a little pop-up that says, you know, "Do you want to try the new Outlook?" But for me, it's not getting in the way, you know, it's not interrupting me all the time. It's certainly not forcing me to switch, at least not yet. Nick mentions here, have we investigated Thunderbird again? Now, I have been using Thunderbird. I use NVDA for my personal use, and I've been using Thunderbird with the Thunderbird Plus add-on for NVDA, and that's working really well for me. I mean, if you're using JAWS or Narrator, I'm not sure how well it works there. I think JAWS does have some issues with it, unfortunately.
Hubert?
I've not had this with Outlook myself, but I have been using the web version of Outlook. And yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Callum that I really struggle with it. It's usable to an extent, but yeah, I think it's got a long way to go before it can be remotely as good as the Outlook app we are used to. I presume there might be something in settings, but I haven't actually found it to change that. But without having the issue, I guess I never really had a need to look for that particular setting.
Jackie, is this something that Nick could perhaps have a chat with the Technology for Life team about?
Whatever we talk about on this program is tech related. So if anybody has any support queries or anything they'd like to talk to the Technology for Life team about, then of course we're available Monday to Friday. That's me giving my team a plug, but we are available Monday to Friday from 9 to 5. You can contact the RNIB helpline either by phoning the famous RNIB helpline number, or you can send an email to the TFL mailbox. That's tfl@rnib.org.uk, and we will endeavor to call you back and try to help you as best as possible. There's always somebody on duty. So, do try us, do give us a go.
All right. And of course, Microsoft also have their disability answer desk as well. So if you're struggling with the Outlook, then it might be worth dropping them a note as well. So we will keep on keeping on, Nick. I think some of us are in the same boat as you, and hopefully Microsoft will improve the experience of the new Outlook. Thank you for getting in touch. That's it from us this week. Good to have you here, Jackie. We really appreciate you, and Callum and Hubert, of course, as always. Tune in next week. We'll be back at the usual time. And if you have a comment or question about anything you've heard on Tech Talk, we'd love to hear from you. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But from myself, Dave Williams, Jackie Brown, Callum Stoneman and Hubert Pavalkovich, bye for now.
Bye.
Bye for now.
See you next week.
Bye.